Talking with TD. Touchdown, Tennessee! The latest on the Two-Tone Blue with ESPN's Teron Davenport.
Put up a shut-up term.
This is Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
Here we go. Yes, yes. You are now talking with TD. I'm your host, Teron Davenport. It is my pleasure to bring you a packed show. This is what we do each and every week. Got ESPN NFL Nation Broncos reporter, the one, the only Jeff Legwold, coming on, talking some shop. Folks, you're not going to get a better understanding of that team than you do from Jeff Legwold, so I'm looking forward to that. Chris Sanders and I, former Titans receiver, run TMC. We're going to leave the running side alone this week, and we're going to get on those wide receivers, talk some of that. And every time you hear this show, we got one guy making it happen over there. That's right. David James,
yes,
over
sir.
There hitting the switches.
On the ones and twos, baby.
Keeping it funky.
Yes, sir.
Man, the Chiefs game, though. We'll start off with that. That was a tough game. And, here's the thing. Leading into that week, I tell you, I thought that there was a chance that a really good chance that Tannehill would play. He said that he felt much better than he did the previous week. He said it was all about pain tolerance. He said the plan was to get an increased involvement in practice. That all sounded good. But then came time to test it. Even just walking in. Here's the thing, Dave. So when you're coming in at Arrowhead Stadium or Geha Field at Arrowhead Stadium, whatever they call it now, the bus parks and you go through security, but you have a long walk and it's going down a hill.
Oh, no.
So it was interesting watching him come. He was trying not to limp. He was trying his hardest not to limp. He managed to, sell it pretty well. So he had that, and then he walked in, and then he came out and he tested the ankle. Not a lot of movement. He was just kind of like having a catch, but you could tell that he was trying to work on shifting the balance and the weight off of that as he went through the throwing motion. But lo and behold, he spoke with Todd Torricelli, the head trainer, as well as Mike Vrabel, and it was a no-go. And Malik Willis came out, and, he did what he could. I think there were some plays that, he left out there, but there were some plays that he put out there. Man, that throw, the back shoulder to Chigakonkwo to Austin Hooper was a really good throw. But the one that really had me going was when they booted him. He rolled out to the right-hand side, and you had Austin Hooper kind of plant off his left foot and broke it out to the sideline. And they were closing in on him. I could really picture it. And he threw it just kind of like off platform, and he managed to – it was a great throw, man. That is exactly – why people are crazy about Malik Willis. And then Todd Downing did a really good job of booting him. You go to the previous game, and one of the things that kept showing was that the backside of these runs, like Willis would hand it off, the Texans game, he would hand it off to Derrick Henry, and he had nothing but half of the field, a whole bunch of air and opportunity to run the ball, but they never had him tuck it and run. They started doing it last week, and it was working. They had the formula put together to beat that Chiefs team. The defense, they held them to, 9 points all the way into the fourth quarter. The 99-33 thing continues to happen. That's something, 99 second-half points allowed, 33 second-half points scored. You're not going to win a lot of games that way, and that's the big problem, and I know a big chunk of that is the Buffalo game, but you also have other games where they were outscored. You look at the Giants game. I mean, there are multiple games where they were outscored in the second half by a pretty solid difference. You can't have that and expect to win it all. You know what I mean? And that's, believe it or not, that's what this team's goal is, to win a championship. And they just can't do that. But I will say that formula was there. And styles make fights is something that we said leading into this game. We said specifically that physicality that the Titans bring, that was going to give the Chiefs all that they wanted. It's called pack and play. When you have a team that runs the football, stops the run, well, the Chiefs stopped the run for them. They barely even called running plays. However, physicality on defense, man, David Long, Josh Kalu, Lonnie Johnson, all of them, Kevin Byard, and Travis Kelce, man, that was a fight. That was a fight. And I talked to David Long after, and he said his whole thing was he wanted to make sure that they felt him, felt that defense. And you did feel the defense. It's just offensively, man, Derrick Henry was running like a madman. Quietly, Derrick Henry through 8 games has 870 rushing yards. You know, don't look now, but he's on pace to have 1,800 to 1,900 rushing yards. I'm just curious where are those people earlier in the year that were saying that. And by the way, folks, he's averaging 4.8 yards per carry. So this isn't one of those 100 million carries. Naturally, he's going to get yards. He's averaging 4.8. That's almost 5 yards per carry. So where are those people who are saying that he doesn't have it anymore? I'm just curious. I will say the one thing that he may not necessarily have is that home run hitting ability. He's not the same slugger that he used to be, you know, to stay with the baseball term. He still will get gone. Like, you still get some explosiveness. But I think overall, you know, Todd Downing, you know, a lot of people are saying they should have run the football a little more in the second half, and I tend to agree. You also have to look at down and distance, though, because there were times where it was a first down, they're running the ball, it's a gain of one. Second and nine, usually it's a passing situation. Speaking of those, Malik Willis, Nick Westbrook, Ikenny, good opportunity to make a play. It didn't happen. I want to talk to Chris about that, Chris Sanders. But the down and distance kind of dictated some of that, too. So that was a tough thing. But, you know, this defense, man, the defense went out there. They gave up 400-plus passing yards. But one of the things that you're going to find with this Titans defense, they're going to give up the yards, right? But they knuckled down in the red zone. And that's something you continue to see them do. They did that. The first drive, the Chiefs scored. But, you know, the next few drives all the way up until, you know, the fourth quarter for the most part, they stifled the Chiefs. And, I mean, it took Patrick Mahomes working his magic. Man, flashback to 2019 AFC Championship. It took him working that magic to make something happen. And it was a tough game for the defense. I mean, these guys played 91 snaps. As Kevin Byers said, if you count overtime, it's 100 snaps. But the thing that really was the most awesome thing of that whole day, afterwards, Derrick Henry, before he, you know, got himself together, he shook every defensive player's hands. You guys have seen the video. Here's why Derrick Henry did that. I mean, this is leadership right here.
I just told him I appreciate him, the efforts, how hard he played, keeping us in it, playing hard.
I know that wasn't a lot, but that's a lot for Derrick Henry. So, you know, he said that he appreciated their effort. Mike Vrabel, I asked him about that the following day, you know, just what it says about the locker room and Derrick as a leader. Here's Coach Vrabel on that.
Tim, he wants to win. He puts a lot into it. I've told you this. You guys all understand this. Derrick is always consistent with our message and what we want to try to do each and every week. He's a great teammate, and he knows what we need to do to win, and that's to stick together and play complementary football, support one another, and figure out ways to win. Not sit in a corner with a couple guys and complain. It's about getting together with a bunch of people and figuring out ways to win.
And that's, I'm glad Coach Vrabel mentioned that about playing together and being complimentary, because I tell you, in that situation, like, you look at, they held the Chiefs to 9 points through 3 quarters. The defense did their job. And it's just like, in that situation, a team that's not put together correctly, and I'm not talking about like how they fit together X and O wise, I'm talking about personality and mindset wise. You could see a lot of finger pointing. You just look at the Rams. You heard Jalen Ramsey's quote about he wants dogs on the offense that, you know, I don't know the exact quote, but you see some back and forth going there. You don't see that with the Titans. And I think that is commendable. Mike Vrabel said he's proud of that, and he should be, because that is an outstanding example of an organization have things together the right way, because, man, there could be some finger pointing. And the defense just keeps going out there, as Jeffrey Simmons said. They're willing to put out the fire, and that's what they've been asked to do. But one of the other leaders on the team, Kevin Byard, I asked him about Derrick Henry, and he appreciated it. But here's what Byard did also as his former leadership for that defense.
I mean, Derrick is a guy who puts a lot into it, and he's a guy that, you know, we all respect. He's a leader on this team. And I just told her, you know, like this wasn't after the end of the game, but this is after the when they kicked the field goal in overtime. I went to everybody on defense. I did the same thing. I just told him, like, I don't – win, lose, or draw. I'm proud of y'all. Just the way y'all played, 100-plus snaps, you know, holding these guys pretty much the entire game. It's impressive. Like, that's not something that's easy to do. And obviously I knew, you know, who's going to lead the game. We're going to have to watch the film, correct some stuff, but – the feeling on the field and leaving that field, I was like, man, I'm proud no matter what happens, you know, the results and when the offense gets the ball. Obviously, I want us to win, but I was like, regardless if we don't win or not, like, I'm proud of y'all. And when we correct the film, I'm say the same exact thing. I'm proud. And we're always going to have things to fix. That's just the way this game goes. But the effort that we played with was incredible, in my opinion.
So there you have it right there, you know, the effort. And I think that's really good leadership also. So wanted to get a couple things off of my chest and talking about that game. Treylon Burks was designated for a return. Watched him in practice on Wednesday. He looked good. He said he started running 2 weeks ago, the turf toe. He said he doesn't have pain there. He did things that he needed to do to stay in shape. His conditioning, he said, is good. So that's all positive from Treylon Burks. Watched him go through practice. I mean, you couldn't really – they're running half to three-quarter speed routes, focusing on techniques. But, you know, it wasn't shabby. You know, he looked pretty good from that perspective. Caught everything except for one he dropped. But, I mean, it's going to happen. But, yeah, there's a possibility, and we'll see what happens there. Elijah Molden also, he said that, you know, he agreed that he didn't, you know, respond to practice in the way that would dictate him being ready to play. That's something he's going to work for this week. So a couple things there to keep in mind. We're going to go ahead and go to a break, pay these bills. We will be right back. Run TMC. Hey, Teron Davenport here for Superbook Sports. When it comes to sports, it's all happening right now. Football, basketball, hockey, and soon enough, the World Cup. And there's no better place to wager on all of it than Superbook Sports. When you sign up, deposit, and wager in the same day, Superbook will give you a bonus up to $1,000. Yes, $1,000. When the sports world is busy, it's time to get busy winning some money. So download the Superbook Sports app or visit superbook.com to wager and win today. Visit superbook.com for terms and conditions. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789.
This is Derrick Henry. You're now talking with TD.
Run, run, TMC. For you. Fresh.
Here we go. Let me get him. The music fades. The lights dim. Coming to you live. And now, for your Portland Trailblazers, out of the University of Houston, at shooting guard, number 22, Clyde Drexler.
Oh, man. And now, sorry for your Denver Nuggets. Not Alex English, but T.R. Dunn.
Oh, dang.
Oh, man. I was going to call you Malik Yoba, but I couldn't remember what movie played.
Yeah, you could have just said New York Undercover.
New York Undercover, that's what it was. Because you do look like him, though.
Hey, listen. The ladies like him.
Yeah, but he's like, hey. Chapstick. Got to put on Chapstick now.
Oh, yeah. Did I ever tell you the story about Common?
Nuh-uh.
Hey, listen.
Oh, he's a dude.
Hey, listen. That's one way I know the green light. That's one I know the, you know, the Rogue got that song Permission.
Yeah, oh, I love that song.
Yeah, you know how you say, give me that green light? Yeah. Look. Shorty be like, hey, you know, you look like Common. I be like, oh yeah. Green light means forward.
Hey, they say I look like Morris Chestnut, man.
They lying.
They lie. Hey, man, I'm hanging up on you, man. That's cold, man. What's up, man? How you doing, my man?
Hey, man, every day is a great day, man. Absolutely. I cannot complain. Not at all, man. Life is good, man. Life is good. What's up with you?
Man, I'm good, man. Just getting ready for this game on Friday. We got Christian Brothers and, you know, still trying to digest this this game that the Titans played when they played Kansas City, man.
Yeah.
They dominated the whole game, in my opinion, but just came up a little bit short. But, you know, commend the defense. And the one thing I love about this team, though, TD, and I know we're going to get into it, is even though they lost this game, those guys care. And the reason why I say they care is look at the interviews. Look at their eyes. They're almost in tears.
Mm-hmm. Hurt.
Tears.
Hurt.
Hurt because they wanted to win because they gave everything they got. So even though they didn't win, I love this team because they care, dude.
Yeah, and you know what's really – I love being able to be there in the mix and feel that energy. Mm-hmm. And I tell you, getting into the locker room, right, post-game, right. You know, the offense and defense is kind of split. That's how the visiting locker room most of the time is. So I veered through the offensive side. Mm-hmm. I always like to just see what Derrick Henry's doing because that kind of gives me a gauge on, like, how much time I have. You know what I mean? Because he's the last one to speak. So I looked over. I said, oh, 22's not out of his locker, huh?
Uh-huh.
So I went over to the defense. And here I see Derrick Henry, literally every defensive player in the room, he shook their hand, said, thank you for their effort.
Wow.
And that resonated with me. And I talked to Kevin Byard about that on Wednesday. And he said, you know, that's an example because we care. And Byard, KB said that after the game, he gathered all the defense around and thank them for their effort, too. So, you know, that's the motto there with that team, the effort and finish. But speaking of those two things, effort and finish, one thing that didn't really happen enough, in my opinion, was finishing from a receiver standpoint. And two particular plays. And I know you want to focus on some other things, and we will. But I want to start with these two because, look, one way to earn more opportunities is to cash in when they come your way.
Right.
We've been on here talking and pounding the daggone table about fading it up. One-on-one, safety's ignoring you. It's me and you. It's not going to be me, but in most cases for this Titans team, it was me. So they finally took some shots. We'll start with the Chris Conley one first.
Sure.
You had a little stutter, get off the ball, and go. What went wrong on there?
You know, first of all, we always talk about big players make big plays in big games. This is the time to put yourself on the mat. And when you have a situation where it's cover one, safety's in the middle, he's not even paying attention to because they don't think the receivers can get off the press. And
he was 8 yards off the line of scrimmage.
Eight, that's what I'm saying. And also, too, Malik threw a great ball and put it in a window to where only he can catch the ball. You got to make that. You have to make that, but then on the flip side, I want to talk about both sides, and I want to talk about that a receiver's got to get in the rhythm. If you're running routes all day long and you're doing this, you're never getting the ball, and you don't even know how to feel or you know how to catch it or where the wind is, then you're going to be a little off balance. And I think for a receiver, he's got to get in the rhythm. Give him a hitch, give him a screen, give him something so he feels the part. So now, if he's running this route full speed, he doesn't think he's even going to get the ball. And all of a sudden, it's on top of him, and then he misses the ball.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about that, the importance of getting a guy involved early. That's super, super important. But, I mean, and it's right, but that moment,
yeah,
you
oh,
get the
right.
opportunity, you got to make the play. Like, that's a catch. Conley has to make that play. He 100%. Has to make, and it's funny because remember the first game that he was able to play, what was that? That was the Colts game, I think it was. Remember you guys asked me pregame, hey, you know, and I said, look, I would like to see what Chris Conley's going to do with opportunities. I think he is a guy that can make teams pay, at least give him a shot
right,
to
absolutely.
Make teams pay for that type of coverage. And here it is. You got the opportunity.
Yeah, that's a good
and
point.
And I know he was tumbling to the ground. Me personally,
make it.
You know, you might want to run through that, you know what I mean, as opposed to diving. But that's a split-second decision. It's hard to – you know, decide in the moment what to do. You know what I mean? He chose to dive because the way the ball was, the trajectory of the ball, and he just didn't bring it in, though. But that was the problem. Then a little bit later.
Hey, can I say something a little bit on that?
Sure.
You know, just like when we talk about that catch, that catch, if you'd have made that catch, it would change so many things, and I'm going to tell you why. If he makes that catch, Malik gets confidence.
Yep.
If he makes that catch, turn down and say, okay, we can make some plays on the perimeter. If he makes that catch, it changes the game. That's how big that catch was.
Yeah, I mean, it was huge.
Yeah.
It was huge. Then a little bit later, you know, you had the drive where Derrick Henry ran the first on first down. Well, he had gained the first down. It was 7 yards, then 4 yards. And then on the next first down, he got 1 yard. And then it was 2nd and 9. Okay? Ball shaded towards the left hash.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Nick Westbrook-Ikhine lines up. The Jarius Sneed, a very good corner, is against him. Malik Willis said, you know what? I don't care if Sneed is a good corner.
Yeah.
We have the matchup that we want. I'm going to go to it. And he goes to it. The fade. Nick Westbrook-Ikhine had him beat.
Yeah.
Willis throws the ball. Westbrook tries to fight to get back to it. Couldn't bring it in. These are combat catches, as Mike Vrabel calls them, and they work on these every doggone day with Rob Moore in practice. You hear me? Not every day, every doggone day. I'm going to sound like Brian Dawkins right now. Every day they work on it, and it doesn't happen. So that's an issue. But an even bigger issue, in my opinion, I wanted to talk to you specifically about this, the ability to create separation. Now, I'm going to tell you a couple things here. Okay, I'm going to tell you a couple things. First off, the Titans receivers failed to make a catch against the Chiefs. That is the fourth time. I'm trying to make sure I look at these numbers so I get this right. So I scroll through. I wrote about this. Like, I was so disgusted. I wrote about it. And it was, let's see. Trying to find it. All right, while I look for that, I'm going to say something else, and we'll get back to that. They were good for 1.53 yards of separation. Now, listen, that's the fourth lowest mark in a game over the last five seasons. The worst by any team this season.
But you know what it is, TD? Everybody thinks that, okay, if he runs a 4.3 or 4.2, then he eventually is going to get open. That's not the case. It's about your technique at the line of scrimmage and running the proper technique. If he's shaded inside, you got to get him off his spot. He moving up his hips and get on top of him, and that's how you win. But see, maybe it's a technique issue. Maybe it's, okay, I do it in practice, but I don't, you know, bring it to the game. Maybe it's that issue, because at the end of the day, if I got press coverage and we've been doing these drills over and over and over and over and over in practice, but then I do something different in the game, then maybe that's the problem, to where he's got to translate the proper technique over to where the game is. So it's more than just, okay, he's not fast enough. Steve Largent wasn't fast. Jerry Rice wasn't fast. Torrey Holt wasn't fast. But why were they consistently getting open? Because they created separation off the line and what they did at the top of the route.
So from watching these receivers, where is the lack? What's lacking?
I think it starts with formation. This is just my opinion when I'm about to say this. I think it's knowing your personnel. When I say knowing your personnel, if I know a guy is struggling with getting off the line of scrimmage but has great radius and catching the ball and, you know, catching them, making those tough catches, then I'm going to put him in a formation to where I know that he's comfortable. I'm just talking about me as a wide receiver coach. If I know that he can't get off the jam, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to be in a 3-by-1 set, okay? I'm going to be in a bunch set. And then I'm going to have him off the ball. So now if he's off the ball, the defensive back can't press him. So now he has enough room to work. So if he does that, then now he gets open and he's more comfortable of understanding that I don't really need to do too much at the line of scrimmage. I just got to make sure I attack his technique, attack his cushion, and then work my magic and get open. Those are little things you can do.
Absolutely. Whiteboard Wednesday, 3-by-1, bunch on the right.
That's
exactly what I drew. Like, we're sharing a brain here. Let's get into this, too, because I think you're on to something when you're touching on the fact that scheme has to help these guys.
Yes.
Because, quite frankly, these guys aren't able to get the separation. Robert Woods, I think he can, but he can't do it by himself.
Right.
So that being said, bunch formation, zero splits.
Mm-hmm.
What's the positive from that?
The positive is the number two is probably going to get pressed. So you want to put your number one guy that's good at getting off the press. Your number one guy, he's more running like more outs and more comebacks and things like that. And you got the number three receiver, that's from the outside end, making him run more like, you know, over routes and dig routes and also more middle routes to where they're comfortable with. It's about giving these kids opportunity to be successful and using their ability to what they're good at. Because you already know they're going to press the number two receiver. You know
right.
they're going to do
the
that.
Point, man.
So put your best guy there that gets mm-hmm. off the press, a quick guy, like kind of like a Derek Mason. Derek Mason's quick to get open and not mess up the other releases of the other guys. I mean, things like that to where you can make these guys feel comfortable so they can make plays.
No doubt about it. Zero splits naturally creates what?
Space.
Exactly. And that's yes. what these guys need.
That's what they need.
You see what I'm saying? So for me, when I'm watching this, it's confusing to me. And, you know, I'm an advocate for Todd Downing. I think he does Absolutely. Some really good things. Sure. But it's confusing to me why we're not seeing more bunch zero splits. I mean, there's yeah. so much stuff you could do, especially like if you – teams tend to, you know, go single high against the Titans. They go man, you know, man free. And you drop – I will put a tight end in there. I put a Conquo over there. You could run smash. Absolutely. You know, you could run – you know, you could layer it where you have number three, and that's what I did in this whiteboard video. I had number three run the shoot route,
yeah,
which released right to the flat. Number one, you're running a pivot, and now, you know, you're causing all types of confusion, and it's absolutely. A natural pick situation set up.
Right.
And that's what they need to do, but they're yeah. not. You're not seeing those things. I'm just confused why we're not seeing more. Matter of fact, I'm gonna ask Coach Downing about that because I'm curious why we're not seeing the zero splits bunch right. formation type of look.
But even take it even further, TD. Okay, say we're in that 3-by-1 in a bunch. We're in the bunch, right? Okay, the number two is going to be on the ball, right?
Right.
So if you know that number one struggles with getting off the press, but you still want to keep him on the perimeter, have him be in a bunch formation and then motion him out. So now he has room to where that dude has to back off. Now he can attack his technique and let's eat.
Yeah, I mean it's not hard.
So many things.
It's not hard. It's checkers, not chess, absolutely. Man. But I think, you know, one other thing real quick that sure. We have to get into, there's an advantage that it's a weekly advantage for the Titans. They don't take advantage of it as much, but it's a weekly favorable matchup, and that's Dontrell Hilliard. Tell me about Hilliard in the passing game and why he needs to be more involved.
Oh, he's got to be more involved. I mean, look, if you look at the first couple of games, who was scoring touchdowns?
Right.
He can do it at the backfield. You can motion him out to the perimeter, you know, and have him go against a linebacker. I mean, just imagine him going against a linebacker if you split him out. And it doesn't have to be like he's running a dig route or he's running a comeback. Just look quick hitters and let him catch the ball and make something happen.
Yeah.
So it's not just about, okay, I'm going to throw him a nine route. I'm going to throw him a post. He probably can't run the route tree. But get him in space. Get him those quick hitters. Get him those slants. Get him those quick arrows. And let him get the ball in his hands and let him run in space because that's what he's good at.
It's real. It is so simple. And I think when you look at the matchup, like getting him matched up against linebackers, like that's always advantage
huge.
Titans. And they're not doing it enough. Another thing real quick, Chig Okonkwo.
Oh.
What about Chig, man? How did you like the run that he had before the gorilla jumped on his back?
that piano got on his back. But, man, yeah. His first 20 yards was explosive, man.
Wasn't
he jumped at it. And he's strong and physical when he runs. It's like right when he gets the ball, he turns into a running back, man.
Yeah, yeah.
So he's running, but then that back got real high.
Yeah. He was out there running like Michael Johnson now. You know, only Michael Johnson could do that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That lean like that. Like you said, that back gets high. But
that's
shout
exactly
out to Chicago, though, man.
But then I was like, oh, he gone.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, Justin Reed said, oh, not so fast.
But we saw his explosive.
Right.
We saw what he can do that he can get to the ball. But here's the deal. Even on that play, look at the confidence that Malik Williams had by just a quick little pass and let your playmakers make the play.
Quick and easy.
Quick
get the
and
ball
easy.
Out of my hand into your hand, you make
yeah.
something happen.
Yeah,
it's that
you don't
simple.
Have to go through no read. What's the read?
Right. It's just... The read is me to you. Boom. Done. That's
you.
It right there. Well, what do you think of this Broncos secondary? They're only giving up 166 yards per game.
Oh.
You started to say his name.
Oh, Surtain. You already know. He's dirty. He's nasty. You know, these guys, and I want to put this in a way where the listeners can understand this. they're in your face. When I say in your face, they're going to challenge you every stinking route, and they're going to dare you to try to beat them. Mm-hmm. And I think that's, in my opinion, that's kind of what we need. Does that make sense? We need that. These guys are going to be in your face. They're going to be saying, you ain't catching the ball. We can go cover one. We can go zero. And I double dog dare you to beat me. That's why I love their secondary. Nasty. And you always say this, and I love this quote. Them guys are some of the guys you would fight every day in practice.
Mm-hmm.
Those are those type of guys. Those are kind of guys you want in the back end that's going to fight you, that's going to say, you know what? I dare you to catch a pass. And, we're cover zero. We don't have no safety. But I dog dare you to catch the ball. And that's the kind of nastiness those guys have.
Yeah, it's that in your face. You know, like
in
you said, Sertan. And that's safety.
In the face.
Yes. In the face. That safety, real quick, Justin Simmons, he's a rangy, solid tackler. He's a good player, man. I remember him coming out of Boston College, fell in love with his game in person at the Shrine Bowl the week of practices there, man. That guy's a player. So I guess we'll end it on this. Titans win?
I think they win. I just think that, you know, it's kind of like the tale of two games. You know, you got the Titans struggling offense, but they have a good defense. You have the Broncos offense struggling, but they have a good defense. It's going to be the team that has the least amount of mistakes. I think the Titans win 21-17.
There you have it right there. Coming straight to you live. Wesley Nino Brown Snipes.
Get off my phone, man.
What's up, everyone? This is Teron Davenport. I want to tell you about Sarah Chevrolet Buick GMC of Nashville. They took great care of me when I got my brand new Camaro. They have hundreds of new or gently pre-owned vehicles, special discounts, and monthly incentives. They don't have any market adjustments, zero dealer ads. Save. You could go online to chat, check availability, and purchase your vehicle without ever stepping foot into the dealership. Or you could go there and see my guy, Josh Lemon. Either way, check them out at sarahnashville.com. That's S-E-R-R-A, nashville.com, and tell them TD sent you.
This is Ben Jones. I'm talking with TD.
That's right. Back from the break, talking with TD. Earth, Wind, and Fire, Shining Star. We're going to go to the Sarah Chevy GMC Buick hotline and bring in a Shining Star for ESPN. That's ESPN NFL Nation Broncos reporter, the one, the only, Jeff Legwald. Leggy, what's up, man?
How we doing, man? You all good?
Oh, yeah. I'm all good. Look, I got an OG on the phone, so I definitely have to be good, man.
Just old. You got an O on the phone. Just old.
Original gangster. That's right. It's good to talk to you, man. I want to just kind of start with, I saw you post that Justin Simmons, his injury is one to watch this week. You saw him limping a bit. After a play, you know, in the London game, what's the latest on Jeff? Jeffrey Simmons. I'm talking about the Broncos Simmons, Justin Simmons.
I gotcha. Brian, I think it's a little bit of a surprise because, you know, they had a bye week after the London game. And I asked, you know, I had seen Justin limping after a quarterback sneak in the game. He got caught in the pile and I saw him limping after the play, and I asked him right after the London game, is that going to be something you're going to feel later? And he said, no, I think I'll be okay. And then they only practiced once during the bye week, just kind of a quick deal on the field, and we didn't see any of that because it was more of a walkthrough. And then, you know, today is really the first big full practice they had a little something Monday, and Simmons was on the field for some of that. And he is not on the practice field today. So He must have had some swelling or something, and they're calling it a sprain. So I think if he doesn't practice tomorrow, I think that's kind of a red flag as to he may not play in the game.
That could be really tough for the Broncos in that case. And that secondary is one of the strengths there, the top-rated pass defense, 166 yards per game. We know what Simmons brings to the table. Patrick Surtain is second. What really has collectively made this secondary so good to limit teams the way they are?
Well, I mean, you know, you know, you start with a lockdown corner, you're going to be able to play some pass defense because it gives you so many options away from that player. And Sertans is, you know, I don't say this lightly, but he's as good as I've seen here since Bailey. So, and I talked to Champ probably 3 weeks ago for about 45 minutes on Sertan. And I think people should know, you know, Hall of Fame players are complimentary of guys, but they don't often gush about other players. It's just kind of the way it is. And I've never heard Champ, in all the times I've talked to him, talk about a young player the way he did Sertan. He called him phenomenal. And at one point he said, he watches Sertan do things technique-wise that he didn't do until his fifth year in the league. So, you know, he's a, you know, he'll play here as long as they can keep signing him to contracts and he stays healthy. You know, doesn't mean in this day and age you never give up a completion because they don't let you do anything on defense anymore. But in today's NFL, he plays corner as good as it can be played. And that gives you the option of moving help elsewhere. I mean, they put him on the best receivers, and those guys don't produce in games, and that makes it very comfortable to do a lot of other things away from that. And with Simmons and Kareem Jackson at safety, they're experienced and smart, and they anticipate things, and they've been good enough on the other side of the field, even after Ronald Darby's injury.
Yeah.
They've got a rookie playing over there, Mathis, Damari Mathis, who I think will be a very good player, but he gets targeted all the time these days because nobody wants to throw it through Sertan.
And that's understood. That's 27, right? He wears 27?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I know exactly who you're talking about. One thing that stands out to me, right, because we're talking about Randy Gregory not being there. Bradley Chubb is gone now. How are they going to get some type of pass rush? You know, you look at the Jaguars game going forward, like without Chubb, what are they going to do?
Well, again, that's one of those cases where they like their potential, but they need Baron Browning to be healthy. And you know, he's missed a little time and he's they think he might be able to play Sunday, but not sure yet. And, you know, otherwise, they're going to have to mix and match, and I think you could see Draymond Jones move around a little more than he did when Chubb was here. So I think that may be their answer until Browning and Gregory are both healthy. I like the rookie Nick Benito a lot, in the pass rush especially. His work with his hands is advanced. And he's very quick off the ball. His difficulty is, you know, he played at Oklahoma, and that scheme is so much just stunting and slanting, and there's really no conscious effort to, you know, set the proverbial edge. So that's been a tough transition for him, and that's limited his snaps because when they need somebody to stand tall out there in the run game a little bit, they're taking him off the field right now. But I think eventually he's going to be a pretty well-rounded player, and I think he has 1.5 sacks in his last 52 snaps. So I think he's advancing in that area of the game, and they'll need him to be a big part of their pass rush moving forward.
And we're talking to ESPN NFL Nation Broncos reporter Jeff Legwold. Jeff, let's flip it to the other side of the ball. Russell Wilson seems to the whole let's ride thing seems to be falling into place. What's going on with the quarterback?
Yeah, you know, it's not been the start everyone wanted or expected. And I think, you know, honestly, I think expectations, I mean, you know, players don't like to admit when things are getting to them a little bit. And I think Hackett, the coach, and Wilson both have been impatient at times for everything to be awesome right away. And I think sometimes they both have been too quick to get away from the rhythm of what's working. You know, they'll have a little something going, and then all of a sudden they'll take three deep shots up the sideline when they don't have the look. to do it because they just want to make something happen so badly. But when they play with some patience and some composure, they move the ball yardage-wise. They just haven't put it in the end zone, and I think that's been the rub, is they just got to calm down a little bit. And, you know, I guess it's my pet peeve in the league right now. You know, all these defenses are playing light boxes and zone coverage in the red zone, and everyone still refuses to run the ball, and the Broncos have been guilty of that, and they've allowed people to they haven't forced people to defend the A-gaps or pull the safeties in at all. And to me, that's on you, you know, as a team. If you're not going to do what's available, then don't cry about not scoring touchdowns.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. Greg Dulcich, we talked before we got on here. I told you, you know, my fondness, how much I liked him as a prospect. What are you seeing from there, especially more recently? You kind of touched on some of the things the Broncos were able to do to get him some opportunities.
Yeah, you know, he missed the first five games of the year with a hamstring injury. And, you know, I'm guilty of, you know, of saying, you know, people were asking me, oh, you know, when Dulcich comes back, that should help, right? And I was like, well, they'll put it all on the kid to do something right away. And then he goes out. I think he had a 39-yard touchdown on his first catch. So, you know, mea culpa there. But I think sometimes coaches and personnel guys get too wrapped up in saying a prospect can't do everything instead of concentrating on what they do well. And I think the Broncos have been good with Dulcich in asking him to do what he can do very well right now. And he's not the blocker some guys are, but, man, you put him in the pass pattern, he can do some things, and he's a tough matchup down the hash or, you know, coming up the sideline or any of those intermediate things. He's been a really difficult matchup, and it has helped them. And I think as long as they concentrate on keeping him in the lane where he's very good, I think it will help him contribute, and he'll be more confident. And when he has had the block, he's done it just good enough to make it work.
Yeah, and it's funny because people forget, like, this dude averaged, I think it was like 17 yards per catch, you know, at UCLA. So it's not like this is something. Yeah, 17.6 in 2020, he averaged 19.9 yards per catch. This dude could get loose, so it's good to see them doing that. What about some of the other receivers? And you know, when you talk about Jerry Judy, Cortland Sutton, Judy with the route running, I love his route running. I was talking to Christian Fulton, and he was like, man, his routes are crazy. What do you see from these guys as far as making their way towards taking the next step, and why didn't Judy get traded?
You know, that George Payton, the GM, said he was asked about his receivers, and he essentially told teams, I'm not trading any of them. You know, he likes the group. He thinks Judy's going to turn the corner. I mean, I think Judy's problems in games are sort of emotional maturity things. Like if a defender gets under his skin early, he has a hard time rebounding from that. And I think he's getting better at it, but he runs hot, you know, and once defenders find that out about you, they don't let it go. And I think ultimately that's his challenge, because his route running is elite. I mean, it is epically. I mean, last year I watched him spin Stephon Gilmore around over and over again. I mean, his route running is unbelievable, and his production should reflect that, and it hasn't, because I think sometimes he gets wrapped up in the hand fighting and if a defender's, you know, up in his face. I mean, they're goading him, and sometimes he takes the bait. And when he stops doing that, I think his production's going to go way up. And, I mean, all of that said, I think the wide receivers only have five touchdown catches here this year, and he's got three of them. So the real key is Hamler. He's coming back from hip and knee surgeries. And Broncos only have six plays of pass plays of 45 yards or more. And Hamler's only got seven catches, but he's got three of those plays. So when he touches the ball, it's big money, and I think they're trying to walk the line of physically not asking him to do too much coming back from all that, but knowing he has been the big play guy so far. I think he's averaging 24 yards every time he touches the ball. It's just he's only touched the ball 9 times.
Wow. Nathaniel Hackett also, just as a head coach, I mean, there have been some decisions that you really, for lack of better words, scratch your head at. What's been the maturation process for him as far as, like, becoming a head coach, an efficient head coach? Because you look right from the start, you know, the decision, the field goal, instead of giving Russell Wilson an opportunity to get the first down, was a 4th and 5, I think it was. You know, from then on, it's just been a series of questionable decisions.
Yeah, I mean, Ron, sometimes I think the greatest disease in the NFL may be overthinking, but it's weird. It's a weird job. There's really no way to train for it before you do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The coordinators always feel like they got a good handle on what the head coach does and all of that stuff, and they really don't. And so everyone has the learning curve. You know, locally here, I've offered up Nick Sirianni as the example. I mean, last year he was talking about Flowers and rock, paper, scissors, and everybody was saying he was the most overmatched head coach in Eagles history. And, you know, sometimes you just need a minute to figure it out and what the job entails. And if your personnel guy has handled it right,
bingo,
you can have a turnaround.
Bingo.
Like the Eagles did. And I think here they do have the personnel. There is talent here. And Hackett's been much better the last 2 games. You know, they made the big step of hiring Jerry Rossberg during the season. And, you know, he used to be John Harbaugh's assistant head coach with the Ravens and special teams coordinator. And if you can be Harbaugh's special teams coordinator, you know football. So
basically, yeah.
They brought Jerry out of retirement to help Hackett with the game day stuff. You know, clock management, timeouts, and it's helped, and they've done better with it. And his next step now is to sort of, you know, keep exuding that confidence to your team when you're in front of them, and just be more composed calling a game. They've been way too impatient to make stuff happen, but again, it's sometimes you want to take too big a bite because you want to show everybody why you got the job.
That, what you just said, and also how you mentioned it earlier when we were talking about Russell Wilson, that, in my opinion, is going to be the key thing to watch, the patience. Because the Titans, their defense, they pride themselves on making teams earn it. So you got 2 things working against each other. The Titans want you to press and then become impatient. This Broncos team has to work on being more patient. I'm glad you mentioned that. That's going to be a really interesting thing to watch at work.
Yeah, you know, I've always believed that, you know, I don't want to generalize, but often when you have defensive head coaches, that's the way they look at things. And, you know, Vrabel's going to want to force, you know, defensive coaches always think offensive play callers will get impatient and quarterbacks will get impatient if you just wait them out and have the discipline to wait them out. And I think Vic Fangio, even though he got fired here, I think he's very much influenced how people are playing defense these days. Because a lot of people, I mean, they finished number 1 in red zone defense 2 years in a row here with very little personnel in terms of talent on the field. And they still were number 1 because of the way they played. And almost everybody I see right now is using some of those concepts. So I think Vrabel, as a defensive-minded coach, is simply saying, this is the team I have. And I often think that the defensive coaches I've seen through the years who are head coaches are far more inclined to coach the team they have. And I think offensive coaches often try to coach the team they want. And it's a big difference sometimes.
Yeah, no doubt about it. You definitely have to marry your scheme to your talent. So that's a great point right there. Ladies and gentlemen, this is why I had him on. I mean, you're not going to get a better pulse for the Denver Broncos than you just got from the one and only Jeff Legwell, man. I appreciate you coming on. Make sure you hit me up on Saturday, hot chicken, whatever, you know, we'll have to do something. I know Nashville, you're familiar with the city anyway, but, you know, definitely hit me up.
Yeah, you're a good man, man. Keep on rocking.
No doubt. So that was Jeff Legwell. Appreciate him coming on. ESPN NFL Nation Broncos reporter. Always good talking shop with him, man. We could do that all day. As you saw, that was just a snippet of how the conversations go. So I appreciate him. Run TMC as always, man. Chris Sanders. I'm glad that we got to geek out a little bit on the wide receiver side of things. There's stuff that needs to go on that could help these guys who are struggling. And as a coach, man, that's what you got to do. You got to work your scheme to your players and get them in the best position to make plays, even when they may not be the most talented player. That's what brings out the ultimate coach of you. So Todd Downing, Tim Kelly, the onus is on you. Coach Rob Moore as well. Like, it's time to make things happen. So we'll see how that goes. Definitely shout out David James over there.
Yes, sir.
Making this thing go. And most importantly, shout out to each of you for tuning in. Definitely check us out, Spotify, Google Podcasts, iTunes, anywhere you get your fine listening materials. We are right there. Search us out, Talking with TD. Subscribe, rate, review. We appreciate you.